chapter 19, and we'll go there in your Bible this morning. And let me give a couple of handouts here in case you missed them last week. Anybody miss the updated list of now 60 lessons on living life wisely? Okay, we'll pass these around over here, Brother Jeff, if you're Brother Brett, thank you. If you missed the list, updated list of 60 lessons on living life wisely. And then, if you would like verses to encourage your children to commit to memory, I have some of those that we passed out last week. There are, I don't know how many, like 14 or 15 verses on the subject of lying, truthfulness versus being a liar. And if you'd like these verses, we have these available too. We talked about that last week. We don't have time to reteach the lesson, but here are verses that major on the subject of lying. Thank you, fellas. I appreciate it. And if you want to help your kids commit those to memory, it'll go a long ways in teaching them a respect for the truth. And then I asked my wife when I got home, I said, honey, remember all those memory cards that you made up back there in the back? Got one, Jason? Got another one? I said, you remember all those memory cards that you made up when our kids were little and trying to help them learn Scripture? She said, yeah. I said, everybody get what they needed out of these? I said, man, I need those to show to the people in the class. She said, that's when they were little. I said, they're not little anymore. I threw them away. So she made one up. After a while, folks, you've got to get rid of stuff. Stuff accumulates. You just got to get rid of stuff. So this is an example of what she would do when the kids were small. She'd cut out, for instance, the verses, Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. This doesn't have to do with lying. Well, it does, really. Good works, being honest is a good work. But she would try to find a picture that matched the teaching of the verse, because a picture, Eastman Kodak said, is worth 1,000 words, okay? And if they can associate a picture with a truth or something, and she would just go over that in devotions every morning. She would go over that with the kids when they were small. You know, sometimes you learn three words or a phrase. That's all you learn. You don't learn the whole verse. You can't take a three-year-old in the first day, quit because he didn't repeat the whole thing to you by memory, okay? It takes a little common sense. But stuff like that, piece of construction paper, a picture, a verse, a little contact paper over it, and it lasts for a long time. Those of you that got multiple kids, bam. Was she? Well, she worked with the little children. That's what she was doing. For y'all too. Okay, so that's what happened. That's how, just an example. Some of you know that, and I'm just, you know, I understand. I'm not teaching a bunch of dummies here. I'm just, if some of you know that. But in case that's new to you, take it and use it, okay? It'll be a help, all right? Okay, chapter 19, verse 14. Solomon, the wise man, wrote in verse 14, an interesting verse here. House and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent life, a wife, is from the Lord. Now, that's a continuation there. That some proverbs are done in contrasts. You got the first phrase, and then it says, but. And then the second phrase is a contrast to the first phrase. This is not a contrast. This is a continuation of phrase one. House and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. Here's lesson number 61. Living life wisely involves practicing financial prudence. Living life wisely involves practicing financial prudence. All right? Now let me explain what I mean by this. When you look at this verse quickly, at a first glance, you might wonder if what the two phrases have in common with each other. But when you really ponder that thing and you look at that word and, you realize they go together completely. It is a wonderful blessing to be the recipient of an inheritance from a father. That's a wonderful blessing. Thank God for men who were blessed to have material possessions, and they were wise with their income. And, they paid their bills. Maybe they set a little bit aside and they paid off their debts. And when they passed on, they had something to hand down to their children. There's nothing wrong with that. You don't have to spend it all up in this life. It's good to have something to pass down to the kids. Sometimes that's not possible. Situations where you've got multiple children, it's hard sometimes to hand anything down of significance, okay? But when a man is able to do that, That is a blessing. Many times, men have left to their kids a generous inheritance that consists of houses, lands, and sometimes monies. That's wonderful and good. It's a sorry government that comes along and taxes it out of the kids' hands, too. And one of the inheritance tax is one of the largest ones out there. And that's wrong. That's stealing. That's stealing what a man's worked hard to have. And just because he hands it down to his son, the government comes and takes, 38, 48% of that? That's wrong. That's wrong. But anyway, it is what it is. That's a wonderful thing. You can leave your kid that. But listen very carefully. A father can't leave a kid a prudent wife. Father can't leave his son a prudent wife. A prudent wife is from the Lord. That's what the Bible says here. A prudent wife is from the Lord. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:22, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. God shows wonderful favor to a man when he gives him a good wife, when he gives him a prudent wife. A prudent wife is from the Lord. Now, it's interesting here that in the first phrase, we put these together. The first phrase, material possessions are mentioned. House and riches. Material possession. Okay, that's the first phrase. In the last phrase, a prudent wife is mentioned. How do the two go together? Well, the word prudent means to be circumspect, to be considerate, to be wise. One of the definitions that I read in Webster's dictionary is this: frugal, economical, and showing a wise expenditure of money. That was one of the definitions that Webster listed of the word prudent. Listen to it again. Frugal, economical, and showing a wise expenditure of money. Now you put those two together. Ladies, one of the greatest gifts you can give your husband is exercising prudence concerning the spending of money. Okay? That's one of the greatest things you can do for your husband. Now I know people's, immediately you jump and say, well, and I know it's not me that wastes money. It's my husband. And you know what? Men can be big spenders. In fact, my kids say the men buy better at the candy sale than the women do. The women come out of the grocery store and they got their money and they're not wasting it. The men come by, give me one of those. In fact, a guy the other day said, hey, I'll take two of them. He took an almond and a caramel. And he gave Leah a 20 and said, keep the change. Huh? 20. So 18 bucks. So we get to put 18 candy bars in the freezer. Just what we need. Amen. Just what I need. So, and I know that, there have been many men who wasted their money and maybe even wasted their father's inheritance. But also, there have been many women who were reckless in the use of money, and it was a source of great financial difficulty to the husband, to the family. So God put the two together here. He said houses and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. So, man alive, one of the greatest favors a wife can do her husband is to exercise prudence in the area of financial expenditures, of spending the money. I have had to talk with men whose wives just were out of control, just out of control. And I mean hundreds and sometimes thousands of dollars. Spending. Man, that puts incredible pressure on a man, okay? Incredible pressure. Financial prudence is of the utmost importance when dealing with the matters that are usually left in the wife's hands. Okay? Now, and everybody does it maybe differently. I can only go on what we do at our house. Okay? A lot of times, I take care of the set amounts. Okay? The tithe and offering amount is set. That's a done deal. It's set. I know what it is every week. Got the tithe, got the faith promise, whatever else I'm given to. That's all set. The mortgage is a set amount. That doesn't change. I know how much that is, okay? How much of my check goes to the mortgage payment every week. That's set. And I have a ledger book, and it has broken down into all the major expenditures of the month, and every week a certain amount of money gets allocated to that budget account, okay? And that's how I do it. The utilities are usually budgeted or within a certain dollar amount. You can get on a budget plan with your utilities, and you know what's going on, so you know how much to budget per week. The real estate taxes keep going up and keep going up and keep going up. And they're never set. You can always just plan on an increase in the real estate taxes, the property taxes, the vehicle, the life insurance amounts are usually set amounts. Gasoline costs are set aside. And then you got cost for education. Set them out every week for the education. If you're in Christian education with your children, you know, you're paying out. You're paying through the nose. And we're all going to pay through the nose for this new facility over here for the high school. If you live in the Bourbonnais Township, Bourbonnais Bradley area, it's going to be expensive. And then on top of that, we pay for our education here. Okay? So that amount, those amounts are set. So these are set amounts that are basically the same every month. I take care of all that. Okay? Then I hand my wife a certain amount of money. And with that $10, she's supposed to buy groceries and all the thing else, you know. And I can't believe why we don't have something different to eat. Amen? But no, I'm teasing. I hand her a certain amount of money. Here you go, lady. This is yours. She gets it every week. In fact, she goes to the bank. I make the deposit slips out. She takes the bank checks. She makes the deposit. She gets the cash back. And that's her money. Now, with that money, she is to take care of the consumable items that are used in our home. A consumable item is just that, consumed. Okay? It's consumed on a weekly basis, monthly basis, 3 months, 4 months, half a year. But after a while, it's used up. Okay? This would be groceries. This would be household cleaning items. This would be toiletries. This would be clothing for the family. Stuff like, not big stuff, but stuff like socks and underwear and, you know, shoes and gloves and hats. I mean, stuff that's not, you know, that's not ultra big. Here comes basketball and volleyball season, you know. And man, it pays to have big feet. I shouldn't say that. I won't say what I was going to say. Never mind. Just one of the kids found a good deal on a large pair of shoes that, anyways, I got to be careful. Because I use one of my kids' names, and you ladies go and you say, oh, we do remind you of my kids. Jared, what are you afraid of? So I'm going to keep my mouth shut, okay? You know, normal stuff. Miscellaneous household needs. Light bulbs. Garbage sacks. Vacuum cleaner bags. You know, on and on and on. Personal items for herself, okay? So she's got a certain amount of money. And she's got all these consumable items that she's responsible for. And there, how many items could you put in that category? I'm just scratching the surface here. Consumable items, okay? Now, there's only so much money for those consumable items. So a prudent wife is very wise, careful, and considerate in the purchasing of these items. Ladies, do your husband a favor. If he's given you a reasonable amount of money for the consumable items, try to make it fit. Okay? Try to make it fit. There are times when groceries go up. By the way, you know, we said, we're out of gas. How about us being thankful when that gas is coming down? I was in Momentum to visit Robert yesterday. It was $2.25. It was 11 cents cheaper, 9 cents cheaper in Moments than it was here in Bourbonnais. And I was full. It goes to be a bad deal. But $2.25. And they're saying it's going to come down even more now. All of a sudden, you know, before the elections, there's this glut of oil. You know, I don't get it. But anyway, try to make what he gives you, try to make that spread for those consumable items. So, a prudent wife is very careful with that. You say, well, he doesn't give me very much. I know. In comparison to the mortgage payment, the electric bill, the phone bill, and, you know, whatever. We only have electric bill at our house because we're all electric. But you have gas bill and you have, you know, garbage disposal. All those things add up to a pretty significant amount of money. Property taxes, escrow for home insurance. Those are big ticket items, okay? So he gives you this amount. It may not look like a whole lot, but in comparison to what's taken care of. So ladies, be wise, and I mean literally work hard to make that money stretch for those consumable items. Now, here are ways a wife can practice prudence in the area of consumable needs. There are ways you can practice prudence. Number one, coupons. This is not rocket science, and most of you are already doing this. But I'm just, you know, this is the verse. This is how you live life wisely, okay? This is how you live a life that's, I would say, that you could take 95% of marital stress and boil it down to money or intimacy. Now, I've been dealing with folks for 26 years, people. And if I shook out all the couples that came with marital problems, I'm going to tell you, 98%, 95% fall in those two categories. Once in a while, you got in-law trouble, outlaw trouble, you know. But 95% fall into the category of intimacy or finances. So, you know, if you're not doing these things, this will help. Shop with coupons, man. You know, the cost of a Chicago Tribune paper on Sunday, I think, is $1.75 or $2 now. I don't know what it is. But 50 weeks out of 52, you're going to find coupons in there that will save you more, far more than $1.75. That sounds true. Or maybe the local paper. I don't know. Okay? Local paper has good coupons. So, you know, you spend a couple dollars or $1.50 for a paper, but you get coupons that save you $5 and $6. That's wise. Shop with coupons. Shop the sales when practical. You know, you hear about a sale. You know, it's good to shop, but, you know, be careful. You know, you hear about a sale, you know, that's 60 miles away and gas is $2.99 a gallon, and you drive 60 miles, you know, and spend $15 for gas to save $2. That ain't cutting it. You know, I've heard people say, man, gas is, you know, $2.34 over here. Gas is $2.32 down on Court Street in Kankakee. I'm going down there. And they drive 5 miles to Kankakee to save 2 cents a gallon, and they put 10 cents in their 10 gallons in their car. Folks, that's 20 cents. It may not be worth the time and effort it took to get me burned that up getting there. So shop the sales when practical. Shop the sales when practical. Shop the thrift stores and garage sales. And I know lots of ladies in our church do that. Your kids. My kids are not too good. My sister-in-law out in Columbus, Ohio, has a huge thrift store out there. I don't know what it is, but it's just huge. And my wife will call Lisa up. My sister-in-law, Lisa, do you have time to go this week and look at the thrift stores? Leah's wearing this, Cherish wearing this size, you know. And Lisa will go spend $20, you know, and we'll get 2 boxes of clothes. $20. 2 boxes of clothes from the thrift store. So, you know, you can't get to a thrift store yourself. You got a cousin, you got a sister, you got a brother that lives, a sister-in-law that lives in a place where there's more thrift stores available. Hey, you know, $20 and $5 for shipping and handling. You know, for shipping it over to you, $25 for 2 boxes of clothes, that's a pretty good deal. All right, so shop the thrift stores and garage. It doesn't hurt our kids to wear hand-me-down clothes. Not at all. It's a savings. Cook from scratch. Cook from scratch. It's a way to save money. Cook from scratch. Buy bulk when possible. Buy in bulk if you can, okay? We have a few items that we buy bulk. We don't buy everything bulk because you buy some stuff bulk you don't use. It sits around. Okay, gets old, goes to waste, you don't use it. But there are some items that we use a lot of. Sugar, flour, you know, we try to go to Sam's for places like that. You know, or GFS, buy bulk when possible. You compare the price, the bulk price per ounce and the store price per ounce, and you're going to see a major significance, okay? So look at what are you using a bunch of. Can I buy this bulk somewhere, okay? Buy bulk when possible. Use leftovers. Man, use leftovers. Leftovers are better sometimes than the first overs. That's the truth. They are. I'll promise you, man, spaghetti is always better leftover. That meat seasons in that sauce, man, just soaks in there. It's always better. Use leftovers. For those of you that have kids in the school like ours, you know, not the public school where they go and they get a lunch, but, you know, where they have to take their lunch, send leftovers instead of those Lunchables. You know, the Lunchables are expensive. Oh, they're handy, they're cute, you know, and the kids like them. Yeah, they pull it out, you know, whoa, look who's got a Lunchable, you know, they're the star, you know. But hey, stuff adds up after a while. Man, send leftovers, okay? Put them in, you get those little bitty, man, you know, it used to be Rubbermaid was the only kind of Tupperware out there, or Tupperware brand, but now they got those inexpensive, cheap stuff, man, it doesn't cost hardly anything, you know. If the kid leaves it at school or throws it away, it's not a big, great big loss. Use leftovers. Avoid impulsive buying. 90% of the time, impulsive buying is regretted. You get home, you look at it, and you go, what did I do? This is crazy. And I know this is practical, folks, but this is what Sunday school is. Avoid impulsive buying. Ladies, if you don't do this, here's a way to save money. All right. Plan your menus. Make a list off your menus. Shop off your list. Don't just go to the store with, I got to get something to cook. There's lots of stuff to cook in that store. Yeah, I think I'll cook some of this and 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 this. Sit down. You say, that takes time. You're right. But it's called being prudent. It's called being prudent. Sit down. You're facing a new week. You got this meal, this meal, this meal, this meal, this meal, this meal. What am I going to have? Write it out and then make your list off your menu. And then look in the cupboard. You may not need, you know, instead of having 16 cans of pork and beans that you just keep buying at the store, you know, use some of that. Shop off that list. And when you make them, don't shop off that list. My wife said she's been doing that for years. When she finally got in the habit of doing that, she found out she had more money left over. She wasn't just buying. She was shopping specifically. Okay? Confine shopping and errand running to one day. When gas is $3.09 a gallon, that's a big saver. Put it all in one day and do your shopping. Understand? You know, that's if you live out of town a little bit like we would, okay? But, you know, and that, look, there are many more ways to be prudent. Many more ways to be prudent. But you get the idea that what God said is true. A prudent wife is a gift from God. A prudent wife, a man obtains favor of the Lord if God gives him a prudent wife. And a prudent wife is prudent in a lot of areas. But in this verse right here, specifically, he's talking about material possessions and money. So be prudent, ladies. And men, you be prudent too. We need to be prudent too. Sometimes it's not the wife that practices imprudence, it's the husband. Just no control. No control. Just, okay? Hey, you're retired, you got $20 bills in your pocket. Give a kid $20, buy two candy bars, tell him to keep the rest. Okay? But until you're retired and got money in your pocket, leave that money in your pocket. I'm serious. Leave it in your pocket. Be careful, okay? All right, lesson number 62. Let's have something here. Look at verse number 17. This is the last lesson out of this chapter. I got about 6 minutes here. See if I can fit this in. I don't think it'll take me that long here to get this one. Look at verse number 17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. If you're new to our class, what we're doing is going through Proverbs, looking at lessons on wisdom all through the book of Proverbs, okay? He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. Here's a 62nd lesson, number 62. Living life wisely involves having compassion for the poor. It involves having compassion for the poor. Now, God makes a great promise in this verse concerning the care of the poor. He says, if you have pity upon the poor and you give them financial assistance, God considers that a loan to him, and he promises to repay it. That's pretty heavy, okay? Now, as you read the Bible, you see God has always had a heart for the poor. Always had a heart for the poor. Always has. He's always had the poor on his mind, on his heart. Let's look at a couple of cases in the Old Testament. Look at Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. These are incredible verses here. Leviticus chapter 19. It won't take us long to look at these. You'll get the gist of them immediately. They're not hard to figure out. Leviticus chapter 19. He's talking to his people about the laws of the harvest. All right? The laws of the harvest. People in this day, generally, their vocation was farming. Animals and crops. Now look at what he said in verse number 9. And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God. Interesting here. There were three phases of the harvest. There's the first fruits, the main harvest, and then the gleanings. God said, when you go to get your harvest, stay out of the corners of the field. Leave the corners alone. And then he said, when you get the first fruits and when you get the main harvest, leave the gleanings out there. Don't go get them. What do we leave them out there for, Lord? Leave them for the poor. Leave them out there for the poor. Leave the corners for the poor. Leave the gleanings for the poor. And he said the same thing about the corners of your field. Well, you don't reap them. And the same thing about your grapes and your vineyard. You go through your vineyard and you got the first fruits. You pick those grapes. Then you go through and you get the main harvest. You know, if you have a garden, you kind of understand what he's saying here. Okay? You get a little bit, and then all of a sudden there's the main harvest. Okay? And then there's that little bit at the end. He says, go through, get the first fruits, get the main harvest. And by the way, the first fruits didn't even belong to them. First fruits went to the temple, to the tabernacle. So he says, get the first fruits, take it to the tabernacle. Then get the main harvest for yourself, and then leave the gleanings. Don't go through it a third time. Don't go into the corners of the field. Leave them for the poor. Look at Deuteronomy 24. I'm not going to finish this, and I'm not going to rush through it, because I got a couple important things to say about at the end here. I don't want to rush through it. Deuteronomy chapter 24, and look at verse 19. We're going to just look at this a minute. We got next week. Okay, we got every Sunday till Jesus comes. Amen. So we're all right. Look at verse number 19. When thou cuttest down thine harvest in thy field, and hast forgot a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. You don't go get it. Why? It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, the poor. That the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hands. When thou beatest thine olive tree, thou shalt not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. He said they took sticks and shook the olive trees, you know, and beat those olive branches, and those ripe olives would fall down. They'd pick them up. He said, when you beat it good and they fall off, don't beat it again. Leave them up there. They're not quite ripe. They're hanging on. Just let them be up there for the poor, okay? Look at what he says in verse 21. When thou gatherest the grapes of thy vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterward. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. He should remember the poor. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I command thee to do this thing. He said, don't forget where you were. You were slaves. You were oppressed. You were strangers. You were foreigners in the land of Egypt for over 400 years, your people were. Remember how it felt to be down there. Remember how it felt to be oppressed. Remember how it felt to be a stranger in a land. Remember that. And you got people that are strangers in your land now. Don't go back to the field. Don't go back to the grapevine. Don't go back to the olive tree and get every little piece for yourself. Leave some. That's what I want you to do. I want you to leave some for the fatherless, the stranger, and the widow. God always had the poor on his mind. God always had the poor on his heart. That's in the Old Testament. The New Testament reinforces the idea that we don't have vineyards. Most of us don't farm for a living. Okay, it's different today. So what about the New Testament age? The New Testament reinforces this business of having compassion on the poor. We'll look at that next week. Okay? God bless you. Thank you, folks. I enjoyed it. See you downstairs. Good to have Betty with us today, and also Jeff and Rachel. Appreciate y'all being here. Amen.